Well, all right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. Got a great story for you. You're going to love this. But I'll remind you guys, first of all, that attorney Stan McDonald, is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama, and yep, he's your daily Right Side Way sponsor, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, I don't know if you've ever had one of those notions that you just needed to do something, but yet knowing full well that it really didn't make much sense. Then again, who am I talking to? Y'all are some of the folks out there who step out on faith all of the time. But this morning, I was reminded of a story that I had totally forgotten about, a story that dates back just over 37 years to the year 1987. It's the craziest story of someone doing something they felt led to do that anybody may have ever heard of. Now, let me lead off by saying this. There's a lot of new information coming into the public sphere about the war between Russia and Ukraine. Just yesterday, President Trump announced that his great frustration with President Putin is causing him to rethink giving more aid to Ukraine. I think it'll be done entirely differently. He's talking about weapon systems. He's talking about calibrated. He's talking about having a plan. But nonetheless, he's retooling the potential for the United States to provide aid and assistance to Ukraine. Well, in the wake of Putin's disingenuous teasings about peace talks and then continuing to bomb Ukrainian civilians, including hospitals, Trump announced the U.S., is considering the resumption of arms assistance to Ukraine. Just today after that announcement came out, the Pentagon began lobbing missiles and drones again into Ukraine. I'm not sorry, the Pentagon, but Putin. A Pentagon spokesman told Newsweek magazine that the Department of Defense is, quote, sending additional defensive weapons to Ukraine to ensure that Ukrainians can defend themselves while we work to secure a lasting peace. Okay. So there's a mixed bag of reporting right now. Some liberals are claiming Trump is too soft on Putin. Some on the right are claiming we need to stay out of it. Europe and NATO continue to be on edge as a full-scale war engulfs parts of Western Europe or Eastern Europe. But what is interesting, though, in all of this is that Russia continues to just kind of ponderously slog its way along. I say that because think back just a few years ago. Remember when the war was about to kick off? And all the world talked about the great Russian bear was going to march into Ukraine's capital city of Kiev within like 4 days. And here we are several years later with a stalled front line on the eastern rim of Ukraine that's pretty much in trench warfare like World War I. One thing is sure. While Russia is big and Russia is nuclear and Russia is aggressive, Russia has always turned out to be a little more hollow than expected. It's true. You can look at history. When Russia agreed to the SALT treaties, the West was shocked to find out that many of their missile silos were already in disrepair and rusting. Reports are available online right now that will show you huge floating graveyards of the once-vaunted Russian Navy. Popular Mechanics did a story in 2021 about 14 unwanted nuclear subs that the Russians just dumped into the icy waters of the Kara Sea, still filled with nuclear material in their reactors. I've heard of former Soviet pilots who defected with their MiG fighter jets only for the West to get hold of them and realize they were actually rather ill-equipped and made with cheap materials. But then there's a story from 1987. A story about the time that a 19-year-old kid actually beat the Soviet air defense systems during the height of the Cold War. What? Yes, a kid who wanted to see the Cold War come to an end, so he flew a private plane over 500 miles and landed it in Red Square right in front of the Kremlin. You heard me. So here's the story. In 1987, Reagan and Gorbachev were in a series of summits, meaning to negotiate arms controls and really to negotiate a new era that might be a move past the long-standing Cold War sentiments. Gorbachev was the most open leader the Soviet Union had had in its history. His policies, referred to as glasnost and perestroika, they were designed to create a new Soviet Union, one that was more open and transparent to some degree, more capable of international agreement, if you will. Unlike his predecessors, Gorbachev didn't bang his shoe on the podium and make claims that he was going to annihilate the West or try to put nuclear missiles in Cuba. But it was still the Soviet Union, though. And Gorbachev, he had a bunch of hardliners in his own government and military that he had to contend with. And to be honest, Gorbachev himself was a communist. Gorbachev was rooted to the idea of agreements that would downgrade the new U.S. nuclear deterrent in Star Wars, which was our efforts to put arms in space. And Reagan wanted an expanded talk about human rights and the Soviet Union's interventions in Afghanistan and more. Well, they never really got there. But the whole world could tell that the end of the Cold War was maybe a little closer than it had ever been. everybody, including a 19-year-old German kid named Matthias Rust. Yep, Matthias Rust. JP just put his picture up on the screen. You can see it. But Matthias Rust was interested in politics, 19 years old. He had watched the news with his parents in Hamburg, Germany, as the Reykjavik summit ended in a stalemate. And at 19, he already had his pilot's license. And he said that he wondered if he could, in his words, create an imaginary bridge between West and East to show that a lot of people in Europe really wanted to improve their relations in the world. Okay. Sounds a little lofty for a skinny teenager with glasses to think he could change the world. But he did have access to a plane. Yeah. So, 37 years ago, Matthias Rust of Germany told his parents he was going to take the plane up for a tour of Northern Europe. Now, I don't know what world his parents were living in, but I think I would have asked a few more questions. But anyway, Matthias Rust, 19 years old, set out. He made stops in the Shetland Islands, the Faroe Islands, Iceland, and then he went on to Helsinki, Finland. And at that point, he decided just to go for it. And after several days in Finland, he took off on a degree heading of 170 degrees from Moscow. Look, if you think this sounds crazy, you're right, but it gets better. When Rust turned off his transponder, the flight controls in Finland thought that he had crashed somewhere and a massive search began. Meanwhile, Matthias Rust, he crossed over the Iron Curtain into the Soviet airspace. At that time, it was believed the Soviets had the world's largest, most prolific air defense systems in the world. No one could get in. It was the Iron Curtain, remember? But he kept right on flying. At one point, it says, history says that a Soviet MiG fighter flew up on an intercept pattern, looked at him, and then just flew away. Apparently, they assumed that nothing bad can really happen if the young pilot of a single-engine Cessna is waving at you in friendly fashion. Well, he flew on for over 500 miles through Soviet territory. He said later he had assumed his chances of survival were like no better than 50-50. But then suddenly, he was in Moscow, coming in over Red Square, flying literally only 30 feet off the ground. Y'all, Red Square is to Russia what the White House and the National Mall and the Capitol building are to the U.S. It's an absolute no-fly zone. I recall hearing that at one point during the Soviet era, it was also against the law to even run in Red Square. You could only walk. And as Matthias Rust flew over at eyeball level, the crowds were looking up in amazement. He circled low over a space that's heavily guarded and controlled, but his only worry was how he was going to land because the crowd was beginning to fill up with onlookers. He spotted a bridge right next to the famous St. Basil's Cathedral, and he put his plane down in a perfect landing. 19-year-old kid from Hamburg had just bypassed the military defenses of one of the world's great superpowers, came out of his plane, and started shaking hands, telling everybody that he was there on a peace mission. And yes, he was arrested. And yes, he spent a lot of time being interrogated about his purposes and who were his co-conspirators and why was he trying to spy. But the Soviets finally came to understand this skinny kid from Western Europe was really not a hardened spy. He was not a big-time government defector. He just wanted to tell folks that the West was not evil and that he wanted peace. Matthias Rust, he was held in a Soviet prison for over a year. But in the interim, though, something else happened. You see, Gorbachev used the opportunity to fire a number of the hardliners who had allowed a private plane to fly past all manner of military security right into the seat of government. The Soviet Union was embarrassed on the world stage, and Gorbachev just began firing people left and right. Some say that the actions that Gorbachev took to rid himself of all the naysayers would not have happened if Matthias Rust had not landed in Red Square. 7 months later, Gorbachev traveled to America for what became known as the Washington Summit, and he signed the Nuclear Forces Treaty with Ronald Reagan in December of 1987. In 1988, Matthias Rust was released in a sign of good faith by the Soviets. 3 years later, the Soviet Union collapsed, and the Cold War era finally came to an end. Matthias Rust was quoted in a BBC article in 2012 saying that, with regards to Gorbachev, he said, "I am, quote, very convinced that I enabled him to push through his perestroika and glasnost much faster than he would have done without me." Maybe so. I'm sure there were dignitaries and diplomats and soldiers who all believed they played a part in the pivotal roles of defending and ending the Cold War, but history dictates that it may have also had something to do with one skinny kid from Germany who decided to step out and make himself known. Matthias Rust, May 1987, the kid who may have brought down the Soviet Union. Y'all, that's one crazy story, but it's also true. But it also goes to my earlier point. Russia is certainly not to be underestimated. I'm not saying that. but they're also known to constantly be far less than what they pretend they are. It's how they've always been. It's how communist tyranny works. And Russian leaders have never operated in good faith. They will claim one thing and do another. And Trump is right to push for peace. We need it. But he's also right to announce he's not going to abandon Ukraine at this point. Trump recognizes that Russia is actually on the ropes. Putin needs victory in order to hold on to his power. He gambled that the world would fear Russia's image. But once he committed, well, it became apparent that there was a little less there than he had been portraying that he had. My hope is that Trump can work a peace deal soon. But history dictates you have to look behind the curtain, even the Iron Curtain, to see the real Russia. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.